Welcome to Relatable. This is your host, Teresa Freeman. Thank you so much for joining us today. We are talking to my husband, Paul, and our good friend, Liza. Both Paul and Liza are first-time parents of newly enrolled freshmen in high school. You may have heard the previous episode when I spoke with Megan and Luke, who are two new freshmen. In this episode, we get to hear about the parent experience and learn about some of the pressures they feel. After having these conversations, I realized that there is not as much distance or divide between parents and teens. We all have stress, anxiety, and ultimately we want the best of and for each other. I sincerely appreciate that Paul and Liza were both forthcoming and honest about their experiences. Please enjoy this next episode. Welcome, Liza and Paul. Thank you so much for coming and talking with me today. I'm really excited to have this conversation. I thought this would be a good follow-up to the conversation I had with two of our young people that have recently enrolled in high school. And what I want to do here is talk to two parents that also have two brand new freshmen. So I think it's interesting to hear about your perspective on their transition, as well as your own experience and maybe how that's influenced your parenting or how it influences your perspective on seeing them through this experience. So the first thing I want to ask is really just about your transition from middle school to high school and what that was like for you. If you had to give it a grade in terms of your middle school experience from A to F, A being awesome, and then your transition into high school and what that was like for you, that would be great. And Paul, we'll start with you.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for having me. I would say middle school, I feel like I went from an F to an A in terms of middle school to high school. Middle school for me was really difficult, and it was very rough school that I went to. It was in Route 1 off Alexandria. It was kind of a weird mix. We had the kind of the richest of the rich and the poorest of the poor that went to our school, and I was an undersized kid, so I was an easy target a lot of times. So, kind of pushed around. I wasn't targeted by one person over the course of my 2 years in middle school. It was just a variety of different things that made me insecure. And because of that, it created a lot of anxiety for me when I went to high school. My freshman year at high school, much better. I was able to make the football team, make the track team. I think that was a big self-confidence booster for me. And then it seemed, from there, I think it was all... It got much better, much quicker. So honestly, like my sophomore, junior, senior year, they were awesome. I had a blast. But yeah, it was really rough start, and then it slowly got better. So I would say F to A.
And then Liza, what about you? What was your experience like?
So my transition from middle school to high school was actually was pretty seamless. The area I grew up in, we didn't really have a separate middle school, so it was kindergarten through eighth grade. So you kind of kept with the same kids all 9 years, and majority of you continued on and went to one of the main high schools in the town as well. So I'd say I went kind of from like a B minus of middle school, maybe to a like a B plus A minus of high school. I think the high school part, just you have a little more freedom, a little more flexibility. Just different schedules. So I think that part made it a little better. But in terms of the transition, it was very easy just because you already knew everyone that was going with you. So,
And what were some of the challenges just being in such a small school? Like, was there anything that made that different? Because I think, Paul, you went to a bigger school. It was like bigger.
Yeah, it was pretty big school.
So for you, was there anything like, did you like that it was a smaller and you kind of knew everybody, or was there any downside for you?
I personally do like the smaller feel, but you also have the downside is everyone's in everyone's business and all the teachers in the whole school, even your kindergartner teacher that's still there, here's what if you get in trouble or you do something wrong. So everyone's really involved, which can have a positive and a negative. You have a very close-knit community of these teachers who you know your families personally, know you personally. So they're all very committed to your education and just your life and your family.
And know what's going on.
And know what's going on. But on the other hand, you know, when bad stuff happens, they know that too.
Right.
So it goes both ways.
Yeah. So then in terms of your own students that have just entered high school, and you obviously were witness to their middle school experience and transitioning, how would you say it's been going for them? And Liza, I'll start with you this time. Like in terms of your daughter's experience, how has it been?
Yeah, I think it's actually been really good. She, going from elementary school to middle school was a bit of a transition, but she actually embraced and did really well in that transition. And I think going from middle to high school did just as well. I know she definitely had, you know, first week jitters. Even knowing that majority of her friends were all going to the same school, it's more, you know, not knowing, does she have a class with someone she knows? And I mean, she's outgoing and very social and has great personality, but I think she still had that was her biggest fear, trying to make that connection and still that, you know, are my friends still going to be here? It's a much bigger school, but I still see them. And I think after the first few days, she realized, oh, I have a friend in every class. I'm okay.
Do you think for her, when you talk about the jitters, and even now that you're a few months in, do you think that it's been her jitters or the pressure she feels is more socially or academically?
Probably more social, but definitely academic, and just not knowing the difference in the workload and the expectations. You know, I think going from the middle school to high school, depending, is it going to be a whole lot more homework? Am I going to be inundated with hours of homework? So I know there was definitely that side of it, but I think the jitter side of it was definitely more the social and who's there that she can buddy up with walking to one class or to the next, you know.
It's interesting. There was a story of someone that had texted Luke, and they were terrified of going to lunch by themselves. And so they were texting him
over and over,
are you sure you're going to meet me by the stairs? Or, you know, because I think that idea of like being in Siberia or having to eat alone is really, really nerve wracking.
Yeah.
So what about you? Tell me from your perspective, what his transition's been like and some of the things you're seeing.
I think he's done really well. Kind of the same. I almost feel like elementary to middle might have been a bigger adjustment for them from a schedule standpoint, from trying to take ownership of their work academically, which has been, I think, a great way to prepare them for high school. I wasn't so worried about Luke socially. I think it'll be a different experience for all three of our sons, though. I think Scott, I worry about, probably because he's the most like me. And Josh, I worry about from being too social, where it's like he makes me a little bit nervous. But I think Luke, I think he's found his balance of social and, you know, academic. And I think being on a team sport has been very helpful in basketball. I think you can learn a lot about being involved in sports. So I think the transition for him was really good. And him just knowing that he felt really, I just didn't get a sense of anxiety. I got more of a sense of excitement, which was great for me because I wasn't stressed out for him.
Right.
So it made it easier for me too.
And then in terms of his pressure, where do you think he feels more pressure? Is it academic or social?
I think it is academic. I think socially he's more at ease than I ever was. I do worry about him being too social. That is a concern for me, where the academics would hurt. And I think that's part of why the academics are the hard part.
Right.
The undivided time alone, need to focus, do not multitask, iPhone off, all electronics off is where he, I think, really, really struggles. 'Cause where he is he's doing really, you know, he's doing good. But where he could be is I think, at a much higher level if he was able to disconnect.
So it's interesting, when I had the conversation with the two young adults before, and Luke was one of them, but we did talk about pressure and the different types of pressure, and both of them talked a lot about academic pressure and feeling it, not just internally, which they said it was self-motivated, like it was more internal, but also peers there's like a peer pressure to how'd you do on that test. And I think you're right, though. It's an interesting dynamic between feeling the pressure and then addressing it by doing the work.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So you can like talk it through and be like, I feel all this pressure, but are you willing to put in the time to actually address it?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I was surprised. I thought it was going to be more social pressure that they felt, because that's what all the movies show and that's what you read about, that kids are feeling so lonely these days.
Yeah.
And these now they're just, you know, the three we're talking about are, you know, I guess, you know, fairly social or comfortable in their own skin, but still, it was interesting to me that it was more social.
Yeah.
I mean, more academic than social.
Yeah. And I think, you know, at least me knowing, obviously, both our kids, you know, and I guess this is where we're fortunate, they're interconnected in a, like, I feel like a good group of kids. You know, there's, we know, you know, I know a lot of the parents, I know a lot of the kids, I said, and they're just a really well-rounded group. You know, I've always said that even all through elementary school and into middle school, and maybe it's just where Emma has kind of situated herself, she just, there's a very low, you know, low drama in her, her social circle, which is really nice, because that's where you hear of so many issues is all of the, you know, the social drama.
Yeah.
That then filters, you know, to your school day. And that's where I think a lot of the stress comes too, is when you're, you know, conflicting with your friends, and that causes a lot of problems. But for Emma, definitely, I think the academic side is always, you know, the harder one.
And then in terms of just looking ahead for them, right, when you think about their high school experience, what are some of the things you're most excited for them when you look ahead and you think about what could be?
I guess, you know, lifelong friends. I still talk to, it's not a lot, but I have several friends that I still keep in touch with and see on a regular basis from high school. So that part of it, I think I'm really excited for them about that. And, you know, just being involved in sports. And I think I am a little bit excited about adversity, too, and a struggle academically, a struggle socially. Like, for them, I think it will, it's just going to be helpful to build their coping skills, to kind of make them more resilient, whereas I feel, particularly in the area that we live in, we're just, I think sometimes as parents, and we don't like them being uncomfortable, but uncomfortable is where you grow. So I kind of wish a little bit of Luke being uncomfortable in many circumstances so he can kind of learn from it. So
what about for you? What are you most excited about? Or,
you know, for me, when I started high school, I knew exactly what career path I wanted to be on. So I already knew, you know, going into my freshman year that I wanted to be a nurse. So everything, you know, starting off freshman year, you know, all the extra classes or when looking at schedules, it was all geared towards, you know, that path. So with Emma going into her freshman year, I like that she already has an idea of kind of what she may want to pursue, because I think so often kids are like, I have no idea.
I'm 48.
Some days I want to know what I want to be when I grow up. You know, at least it's stick with my path. But so kind of seeing that avenue, if she is, you know, she, being that she, you know, same, plays a sport and she does want to pursue that into college along with, you know, some academic career choices that she's looking at, I'm kind of curious to see if she actually will stay on that same path or how things will morph over the next few years, you know, as we get to, you know, the college hunting time, and to see where she ultimately ends up from where her perspective is her freshman year versus when we hit, you know, junior, senior year. You know, I think she's definitely learning there's a lot, she does need to put in a lot more effort when it comes into the academics this year, and not that she's struggling, but it is more work. And each class has a lot more work. So it's not like how it was in elementary school and middle school where you have little assignments here and there. I mean,
time management is huge.
It's a big thing.
You got to be able to find that time that is being taken away from you in terms of, I would even say, even in terms of electronic devices.
Yeah.
I'll usually grab his phone and say, because they have that great thing on iPhone now where you can say, what's the average screen time per day? And sometimes I'm just like, oh my gosh, I said, this is where you're C's could be B's and your B's could be A's.
Yeah, so. And you know, when they get home, they have some time that they're there, and I get they need downtime from when they've been at school. Once they get home, to kind of unwind till they can ramp back up and start the homework. But I find that's the hardest part is they give themselves a lot more downtime than even how I did. And again, I know that the social media and the phones and the technology plays a huge role into the difference between, how I was, active. I mean, I had way better time management skills, but also didn't have
so much
nearly as many distractions.
Yeah.
So there's two things you brought up that I want to follow up on because I think it's so interesting. And the first is you talked about them being uncomfortable and how you are interested in seeing how they handle that and putting them in those situations. And so the question there is, how involved are you in managing his and her schedule, their grades? Like how into their stuff are you? Or are you letting them have a lot of control and autonomy and independence in handling that?
Yeah, I really struggle with that because I feel there is a part of me that could be more involved and maybe should be more involved in their time management. And there's a little part of me that wants them to see what they can do on their own. So kind of let them sink but not drown type of method that, I struggle with the back and forth of that. And there's also a part of me that thinks about, who I was at 14 and I needed somebody on me. I think it's easy as a parent to say, well, when I was a freshman and, to only remember items that were beneficial to the lesson you're trying to teach. But I think for Luke, really to be aware of his schedule, place a little pressure, and then at the same time, let go of the reins and see what he can do. And obviously, step in where needed based on whatever where he's struggling and let him know that you're there to help.
Just where all the social media and technology is on their end, as a parent, I try not to be the helicopter parent, but when you get that email every other week and it has their grades.
Yep. Which I love, by the way.
It is. It's really nice because when we were younger, our parents found out our grades when that report card came out. And at that point, it's too late. There's nothing you can do. But as at least me in high school, I knew, I didn't pass that chemistry test. Oh, he's offering, you can retake it for half credit. And that was on me to schedule that and redo it. Whereas I'm finding the biggest thing on Emma's end is, I'll see her grades and be like, hey, there's a 0 out of 15. And she's like, oh, well, I turned that in. I'm like, well, clearly your teacher doesn't think you did. And she said, well, I don't understand. I said, well, then you need to go follow up. But they have, they see the same, they have access to the same report each, or they can actually, there's as much as they want. I said, are you not paying attention? So it's more me keeping on her on that end. I want her to be able to realize these things on her own where she sees that zero and takes the initiative to go talk with the teacher. But I think that's a big difference right now is kids don't have, like I said, maybe it's some of that social interaction with adults that it's not the same as when we were younger.
Yeah.
She's like, well, she thinks that the teacher's going to reach out to her and say, hey, you have a zero here. And
you're older, you're more responsible. You don't follow up with me.
Yeah, you get a zero, and that's it. So I try not to be overly involved, but on the other hand, we also don't support just not turning in assignments and not doing stuff. So if I'm seeing zeros or things like that clearly you didn't do something or what's going on. So I'm on a 50-50 on that. I want her to acknowledge, but on the other hand, I want her to be successful too. So
Do you feel like it's a push-pull? Like, do you feel she wants you to have some oversight so she has a net there? Do you get some of the teenager attitude, like, I've got it, I'm on it, but they really aren't? Or
Usually the response I get if something's pointed out is like, oh, I don't know. Oh, I didn't, so she's actually usually seems the other side that she's not aware. she's not overly excited that I would like her to take the initiative and reach out to her teacher. I was like, I'm not, you know, not going to email your teacher. Like, if you've missed this class due to whatever, you need to, you need to take, you know, they're not going to reach out to you to tell you what you've missed. If you're out for a day, that's, you know, your responsibility to follow up and get your missed assignments. Because this is how, this is what they're working on teaching you and being responsible. And you have to advocate for yourself and figure it out.
Realatable is sponsored by TFA Soft Skills, your one-stop shop for workshops, coaching, speaking, and soft skills development. If you'd like to hire Teresa, visit www.tfasoftskills.com for more information.
One of the things that we talked about when I had the podcast with the kids, we talked about parents and how they can help and how they don't help. And it was interesting that they both said they like that their parents are there to catch them and that they're there to help if they need it. What they don't like is this concept of being super pushy or overreacting, because I think those grades, and I'm so guilty of this, they come in and not everything is really recorded. And so if I see a C minus or I see some like a zero out of whatever, I react. And then I want to know what's going on and what's the story. And he's like, can you give me time to address it? Or that's not really what is going on. There's something that's missing.
And so, in most cases, it's proven to be true where
on his part.
Yeah.
Yes, it has. It, that is true.
Yeah. I actually just did that the other day. She had a, you know, a zero out of 15 in an assignment for PE. And I was like, oh, why do you have a C in PE? She's like, oh, like, you know, that was when you pulled me out early for an appointment. She said, I just need to complete the assignment. I said, then why'd she give you a zero? She's like, I just haven't done it.
Yeah.
I was like, all right. So it's hard for me. I mean, like I said, and I was raised, you know, my dad was a military background. So I was raised, the rope was very short. And you did not get much leeway, and they were very involved with our studies and our grades, and there was a lot of pressure on me as a kid, and I'm trying to not be at that level because I know how much it stressed me out as a kid or as a teenager, so I'm trying not to do the same, but same thing, kind of be that net and just kind of keep a
and view on it all. Hopefully, if they're listening to this, it's good for them to understand that we struggle with it too, that it's not just parents. I always, you know, sometimes it's an us versus them, or that we're just adding to the pressure they already feel. And I think it's this balance of us wanting to help them, but also recognize they're getting to the point that they have to figure some of the stuff out on their own.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think they have I know she does, but I don't think it's necessarily always at the front of their studies is, you know, now in elementary school and middle school, they were the learning years. You know, now that you're in your freshman year, this all sticks. It goes, you know, some colleges do look back at your freshman year. So if you kind of like, it's
on,
you know,
your official record.
It's there. Yeah. So I guess me as a parent, we just want them to be successful. And if they're not fully looking at the whole picture, you know, oh, what's 1 year if I get a C in Spanish this year? Or
In terms of what's making them want to study and want to get good grades, I don't want it all to be from us having them, you know, under my thumb and constantly nagging. At the same time, I know that if I left it all to self-motivation and I've got to get good grades, I mean, there are a few kids like that. I went to high school with a few kids like that. Their parents never pushed them, and they were straight A students. It's just something that was in their DNA. But I think for most kids, I think it's got to be that balance. I don't want them getting straight A's out of fear from me yelling at them, because that to me is toxic and unhealthy. So.
And you mentioned this before about the three kids, and I think for me, I had no discipline. There was no structure. There was no one there, and so I craved it but didn't realize it, and I got by, but it took me a long time to catch up, and so that's what I try to share with them is that at some point, you have to catch up.
Yeah.
So if you take this time right now and you're not as focused when you go to college, then you got to catch up then. And then it took me till my sophomore year in college to really understand what hard work meant, what it meant. And the fact that I got to go to college, that was tricky because I didn't do great in high school. So yeah. Finding that, there was a ton of stress during that period. So I think this idea that, like, you know, sometimes you don't know you need the help, but you do. Mm-hmm. And I would have really benefited from someone sitting down and saying, being involved. Like, it's that, it's stressful to have them involved. At the same time, I was expected to get great grades, but nobody sat down with me and said, let's look at your calendar. Let's manage your task. Like, let's see how you do this.
And that's a skill you got to learn. It's not something, you have to learn organization. It mm-hmm. It's not something that just naturally happens.
Yeah.
So. Well, and especially since they have, you know, their block scheduling, you know, they have more time to do the work, but that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, I think some kids, if they use it to their benefit, it can be really good. Mm-hmm. And then you have others, which, you know, I know Emma's a victim of this frequently, you know, the stuff gets pushed.
Yes.
That, yeah.
He is too.
You know, it goes back and forth that it's nice. You only have a certain amount of classes in a day, so you're not in a full day. And that's because that's, it is a lot.
But yeah. Yeah.
Then, you know, do you space out your work over the next 2 days or do you, you know, push it all to that next one? And
well, I think one of the classic, I think we hear it almost every night. I don't have any homework. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly.
They never have homework on Friday night, but on Sundays they do. I don't understand.
It's so
true. I mean, it's every weekend. There's never any homework Friday night, but on Sunday they have a ton.
Usually they get assigned homework Sunday around like 5 p.m.
Yeah,
it's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So switching gears just a little bit in terms of social media, that was the other thing that you started to bring up. And we talked a bit about that. And I'm curious what your perspective is on social media and really the influence it has on them and how is it entirely, as parents, there's a lot of conversation that it's such a negative thing. I think the reality is it's here to stay. So what is your perspective on the role it's playing and how influenced, so the two questions really, the role it's playing and then how influenced are they, like for you, like Paul, in talking about Luke, how influenced is he by it?
I guess I got, looking through my own lens first, you know, I used to be on Facebook, used to be on Twitter, quit them both, I hated them because I hated the way they made me feel. I think I was seeking validation from them. I didn't like the way a lot of negativity. I think the recent kind of, well, not so recent, but even the latest election was just the point for me where I was just done. I was tired of hearing both sides. It didn't matter. So when I disconnected within a day, I felt like the weight of the world was off my shoulders. I have no desire to ever go back. The only way I would ever go back is if I had to promote something that I was doing for myself or had a platform. So, but for Luke and, you know, I think so many other kids, I really worry about it. I think it can be a powerful tool. I think it can be toxic. I think it's unforgiving. And then something that happens within a second of your life can be multiplied a million times over. And usually if it's something not good, it has a higher chance of getting more hits. So that part of me really, I think it's like a lot of the defects, it's like Miracle-Gro on defects in terms of how it can spread in a negative way. So I don't, it's hard enough being a teenager, that part of it, I think it makes it harder. Now that being said, I mean, I don't see it with him, but I don't know if he's internalizing negative things that are happening on social media or if he's just above it and doesn't engage. I can't say it's probably an absolute, it's probably a little bit of both. Yeah, I honestly, I am not a fan at all, but I don't know if I'm in the minority or not.
What about for you?
So for me, especially talking with my husband, we wish we had waited longer, you know, to give Emma a phone. And I don't want to say I'm naive, but I guess in my brain of how we've raised her and having conversations with her, other than I feel like they're on it so much, I at least feel or think that she's at least using it appropriately. Whereas you could, you know, you hear all the stories about Yeah. You know, that one picture that you thought you just sent to the one person, and now it's, you know, all over the whole school. Or, yeah. And we have had those talks with her. Like, if you think something's been deleted or it's only there for 2 seconds, it's
doesn't
not.
Mean anything.
Everything can be tracked. Everything yeah. can be pulled. You know, and now especially going from where they are now and into their adult life, employers find stuff that you know, everyone I've yeah. talked to, their first thing now is when they have a candidate, they go to the internet and they're Googling their name and they're on Facebook and they want to see if they have a profile and what's on it. And, you know, I said, everything follows you. So I can't imagine what my childhood would have been if we had access to all this stuff. I mean, even as an adult, yeah. it's, you know, it consumes you yeah. that, you know, you feel like it's like first thing in the morning, you have to check in and see this
yeah.
and know this.
Yeah.
And I mean, even with email, I mean,
yeah.
email gets overwhelming and inundating. You're just,
I think, yeah, and that the time consumption, even when I joined Facebook, I remember this was years ago, one of the first people I know, on my status update put welcome to Time Suck Central.
Yeah, it's true.
And it is
true.
You
yeah.
can lose track of time.
Yeah.
You can lose track of priorities. It is the default for, there's nothing easier to do than stay for hours on social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's doesn't really work your brain. That part of it worries me. From not only content, but from time consumption too.
Yeah. So. As an adult, I like, you know, some of the social media because it has reconnected us.
Yeah,
with
there's been very positive things.
Ago,
you're right.
Which,
you're right.
You know, our kids don't have that piece
yeah.
of it because they all are starting it together. So
yeah.
now, down the road 10 years, maybe. That may help keep those connections, which is really nice.
Yeah.
I'll
join Facebook again when I'm 80.
Yeah, that's what's happening.
And then
it's,
I'll reconnect.
So it's at least nice to kind of keep, you know, it
yeah.
is kind of a you know, a link to keeping in touch with some people that you otherwise maybe never would have mm-hmm. reconnected
yeah.
with
yeah.
or had that side of it. So it's, I don't know, it's a hard, but you do, you get kind of consumed by it all. And
I did. That was my problem. I think I just, in a way, got addicted, might be too strong of a word, but it started to become a default, almost muscle memory thing where I was checking my phone so much. And just because I didn't want to deal with things that were probably right in front of me at the time. So I feel like, in a way, I disconnected from that and reconnected with the things that should be more important.
Yeah.
So they talk about dopamine and how when you get an email or when you get a like or when you get
yeah.
anything, right, that it's this dopamine rush
yeah.
and that, right, and
yeah.
that feels good. And I think we talk a lot about how it's hard to really relate to them and what they're going through because it is very different. At the same time, I get a little, you know, I can get that if it's an email that I've been waiting for,
mm-hmm.
to job, whatever it is,
yeah,
job opportunity,
yeah.
you know, you get that feeling. So I do
instant
think
now.
It is so instant.
We're not in
And
a,
when I see them on the Instagram and the like, what, you know, they're like,
mm-hmm.
it just seems to me this sort of rapid, very like disconnected,
mm-hmm.
just like
yeah.
information consuming. And I think when I asked the kids this question, they said that it is obviously a big part of their network and connection. It was interesting. The two people that I talked to said it didn't over influence, although they said it's harder for girls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And
sure.
that girls can be very mean with the like barrier of the screen and they're not having to do it to someone's face, but
yeah.
that there's this, and then it can create a whole downstream. So we talked a little bit about that. But I think it's hard recognizing that it's very much a part of their life. And again, like, how do you...
Yeah.
Well, and you know, even, I mean, as
yeah.
an adult female,
yeah,
it's the, you know, as a full-time working mom, that
mm-hmm.
that's all my kids know. And I've never not worked. I mean, even back to when I was 14, I've always had summer jobs, you know.
Yeah.
It's always been a thing, you know, you get onto, you get on Facebook and you see all these, you know, all the Pinterest moms and all these things and the lunches and the,
yeah.
the holiday and the matching and the cookie. I mean, I was like, there's days I'm like,
I can't do it.
I was like, how? Yeah. And
yeah.
you get that, you know, the mom guilt because oh my God, I'm not, you know, having the Dr. Seuss themed green eggs and ham lunch day. And my poor kitty's going to roll into lunch and it his is lunchbox the... is going to be really boring. Or, you know, so it's really hard even like on our end. There's been times I was like, you know, you don't want to block friends. You don't want to, but there is. It's like sometimes you just, you need to be like, you know what? I'm doing the best I can do today. And they're fine for it, and they're functioning and thriving.
Absolutely.
But we, I think as adults, it's the same thing, trying to keep up. But
and it's projecting the almost the ideal image of, you know, you want to put yourself out there in a positive way, and sometimes it's not the truth. Where kind of, you know, the course of a week, you could have, you know, four or five things positive happen, and that's all you would see on Facebook. And I feel like that's kind of what worries me too, is a false image. It's almost like another thing that does worry me is how it, for me personally, I just feel like it truly is to a certain extent meaningless. And it's this vapor that kids treat as a commodity. And that really worries me.
It's just how much value you need. Yeah. I think part of our role is helping balance what the value is.
Yeah.
So is it, you know, what is real? Right? You having this interaction with another human being is real. Mm-hmm. This is not really real.
Yep.
And that, you know, we joke all the time about Facebook and how it's everybody's best life, right? So that's what you're seeing.
You're not showing the bad stuff.
You're not,
yeah.
You know, so I think it's the same way for them. But I think being able to show them that there's a balance to it all and what's not real and that the value comes from other places.
And I have to say, I mean, I don't know if it's from social media or what, but I feel like on a positive note, at least, you know, Emma seems much more in tune and aware of what's going on in the world. She's probably more aware of
current
events.
Yeah.
And
that's
and
true.
And things like that.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That me as a freshman, I don't think so.
Right.
So I think they are at least getting more exposure to some of these real world
That's true.
Issues that are going on. And then some even to, like, you know, extreme issues that, you know, that you're like, you don't need to read every article or watch every video someone sends you about, you know, those sheep's wool, you know, and how they make it. And you're going to become the animal activist.
So then similarly, but different in terms of pressure, the whole, you know, drugs, alcohol, sex. So do you feel that, they're feeling pressure in that area? Do you have concerns about that impact, you know, of those things on them in the next 4 years?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I'm a little bit out of the loop on that in terms of, I guess, my own experience. I know alcohol was, you know, readily available from freshman year on. I feel like most of the parties that Luke's going to, our parents are always there. It's just them going to the basement. I don't feel concerned in that way, particularly with him being involved in sports and stuff and all how his schedule, there's not much time for anything. So I think, which might be good. And it's almost like their drug is social media now in a way. When I think of Luke, the one thing I really worry about in terms of drugs is him getting injured and then getting painkillers and the prescription going out and then looking for a fix another way. I hear that story over and over and over again, and that really concerns me because some of the parents I see, whether it's in a documentary or reading it in a book, because I just read Dope Sick, and I just, you know, I've seen some documentaries about it too, and it's just regular kids from regular neighborhoods with regular parents. And for Luke, that would be the window where it would happen. So that's where my antenna, I think, is really on high alert if he ever gets injured and needs to start taking painkillers. So I covered drugs. I didn't cover any sex yet. So I've had talks with him, but he's just kind of looks at me like I have a third eye in my forehead. So I don't know. I just got to keep, I guess, pushing that agenda too. Just making sure he's aware of it and knows he can talk to us.
So I think one thing we've tried to do, very different than my parents and different from yours.
About
yours, is it was a very taboo subject. Mm-hmm. We couldn't talk about it at all. So we've tried to not have that be an issue, and that it's a very normal, and sometimes to the point where they laugh or they think I'm being silly. It's a very natural thing that I've tried to create here, that it's a normal thing, and like, yep, we can talk about it whenever you want. And sometimes I find he will instigate a conversation, not necessarily about that specifically, but it's tangential in that way. Mm-hmm. And just being like, my reaction to it is just to be very chill about it.
Don't
and not
ever be
overreact.
Surprised.
Yeah, because yep, I think then it creates that whatever, right? Whether it's me, it's making them uncomfortable because I'm uncomfortable,
right?
Or that they then it's, you know, they don't want to talk about it again because it was such a bizarre exchange.
Yeah.
What about for you? Yeah.
If you'd like to advertise with Relatable, please email us at info@tfasoftskills.com for more information.
You know, again, maybe it's, you know, the bubble I grew up in, and it was the same. You know, alcohol is very readily available. I know, you know, I grew up in a expensive town. Drugs were around, mm-hmm, I'm sure. It never was really in my circle of friends, and, you know, never any really thing that, you know, some huge longing and desire to try. But the bigger concern, I think, with the kids going into high school now is the types of drugs that are out there, and the drugs that they don't know are drugs that are out there. I love my daughter to death. She's very naive, and we know this. Like, she's so book smart, but, you know, you get out to, like, kind of some of the, mm-hmm, real world, and she is the kid that gives everyone the benefit of the doubt. Everyone is a good person until proven not. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, my husband, it's the reverse. Everyone's guilty until you can prove you're,
yeah,
a good friend and a good person.
Yeah.
So you said, I love that, you know, she wears her heart on her sleeve, but my biggest fear is that would be what's going to come back to get her in trouble too. Not intentionally.
Yeah.
But so, where you have someone, you know, she gets slipped something. She gets, that's where I would be more concerned, mm-hmm, that she, mm-hmm, just, she's in kind of her, in this world.
For you having like a medical background, do you have any extra anxiety or insight into what's available, what's,
yeah,
out there?
Yeah, because the drugs that are out there now, the way these kids, I mean, it is, these kids are making them, and the potency is awful. I mean, it's not like it used to.
Aesthetically, yeah, right? Like, it can be in pill form. So if you think intuitively,
it can be candy form. I mean,
yeah,
it's like,
you think, oh, it's okay because I'm not snorting it up my nose or,
yeah,
like.
But like, what, I mean, I said, and I'm really drug naive as well. I mean, we're fortunate. Emma is very vocal about how anti, I mean, even if she walks past someone who's smoking a cigarette, she's very vocal. And I was like, listen, that's a choice they're making. You can't be judgy.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's their choice. She's like, but it's awful. So I hope, based on how the conversations we have now, she has really no desire. And because, especially the area, you know, we live in over here,
yeah,
there's been a handful,
yes,
of,
yes,
deaths.
Absolutely.
That have been very, you know, publicized. I mean,
yeah,
it's out there, the information. And so when we're hearing these things, we do make a point to kind of say, yeah, that was, oh, they thought they just tried this one thing.
Yep.
Oh, it was just this one pill. Someone said to try it and it would make them feel really good. And I said, that one pill is, mm-hmm, now their parents have to, you know, now bury their child.
Yeah.
I said, kids just, as the, you know, the ramifications of some of these decisions.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard. You have to, you know, as a parent, you have to kind of pick and choose your battles. But we just try and really highlight some of these, you know, unfortunately, other parents' losses.
The cautionary
tale. And,
yeah,
and it's not 6 degrees of separation. It's like 2 degrees of separation with some of these stories. It's,
well, and even
scary.
Like I said, and some of these drugs that are out there right now, from what I'm understanding, like just having the powder of some of them,
absorbing
touching
your skin,
it can be lethal in some of,
ugh,
what they're concocting some of these things in now.
Wow.
So, you know, or they,
yeah,
you think you're getting a pack of Smarties and it's some kid, mm-hmm, trying to.
I was reading about in that book Dope Sick, which was, you know, a very depressing but interesting read, how, you know, some of the pushers will put a heavy dose at first and then make it weaker afterwards. So sometimes the first time user is trying the most potent and that's what kills them. But the design is to make it strongest so that first hit is the ultimate high and you're
you
chasing it.
Yeah.
And they make everything weaker after that. So you're constantly chasing it. And you're never able to satisfy that first high. But
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's funny. And like I said, Emma has a large circle of friends that you see all sorts. I mean, you have, you know, we have some friends and the parents that are, I mean, so strict. And, you know, we really try and give her the freedom and, and all the freedom that you're making your decisions. Yeah. You know, you mess up, you're going to learn real quick where
the line is.
It's going to get cut down real quick. So you can continue on your way right now and how things are going. And this is very easy. And we have this great open relationship and we can talk. Or you can, you know, start doing stuff, sneaking in behind our back and not being open with us. And you're going to realize your rope's going to get really short too. So I see both sides of it that even they said, I can't remember what the new term is now, but something, not even helicopter. There's a new one.
Oh no.
So you still have helicopter parents, but
we're a whole new brand of it.
But now there's a new one. It's something else where like the parents are actually now doing the work for their kids. Not even like helicopter. Now they're doing it.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like, cause they want to make sure they're successful.
But, who's running the show at that point? Good grief.
But you see, I mean, and I've come across these kids, you know, once you hit college, like want them to have these experiences that once they hit college, they're not going crazy, that now they have this huge freedom that they haven't had their entire life and go crazy. So, you know, we try and let her have experiences that.
And are you, what kind of, like, do you have an open conversation? Do you have open conversations? Do you feel like it's about all this kind of stuff? Are you able to talk to her about it?
Yeah, we are, which is really nice. And I, you know, and it's the same thing. My parents were very quiet and closed and all that. So I don't want the same thing for her. I want the same thing. I want her to be able to come to me. And if not, she has, you know, and I think this is really important. She has a list of others, like, if you can't come to me, my younger sister who's, you know, just 12 years older than her. So, you know, she's a little more connected to that side of it. You know, and then we have a few, you know, neighborhood friends that are adults that, you know, if you can't talk to me, okay, here's this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have the whole, if you're out at a party and something's happening, you know, here you're, you know, that whole X text and set, you know, all you have to do.
Can we have that
send
list for our son, please?
Yes. But, you know, just have her, like I said, they, you know, she doesn't need to pick up a phone or call anyone. If you don't want to be put on the spot, but you know, you're in a situation and you don't want to call us or whomever, she has her list of who she can text that X to that knows what that X means. And they'll call her and say, oh my God, we have, you know, and they'll reverse it. So it's them needing to come get her to get her out of the situation where she's not having to be the one. So I think stuff like that, having, I say that plan, but and we've always told her, if you reach out to us and you're honest, we're not going to question anything. You're not going to get in trouble. You're, you know, but as soon as you start hiding and sneaking and that.
Right.
Then you give us a right to be suspicious.
And that's my, like I said, that's my biggest concern with high school is, like I said, how influenced by her peers and like I said, it's social acceptance. And it always has been when we were kids. I mean, you don't want to be the one kid who's, I mean, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
Us to them, there's always the social peer pressure, but.
You don't want to be the wet blanket.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, you just hope that you've instilled enough in them that she'll come out of the bubble a little bit to make a good choice when in that situation. But it is. A lot of the stuff they're out right now is parent run and there's parents around. And
so about that, really, and I know we don't have a lot more time, but the interesting thing, and I want to also interview some teachers because I think it's really interesting to understand from their perspective what it's like now to be a teacher. And what is your relationship like with their teachers, or what do you think the role of teacher is?
I mean, my dad was a teacher, so he was a teacher for 25 years. So I kind of think back on his experience. But I think now teachers should not be parents is one thing that I think sometimes there is a little bit more pressure on them that all my son or daughter's academic issues can be solved within the walls of the school. And that worries me from a teacher perspective, because there's just, I would think at the high school right up the road, each teacher probably has dozens and dozens of students. So that's a lot to take care of. It's a lot to monitor and track. And so from that part, I think there's a challenge. You know, I definitely think they're also should be there to help where a kid is struggling, to find out and honestly defer to those who are asking for help the most. So I really do believe that if a kid is doing their best to say, hey, I want to improve, those are the kids you should be helping the most. For the kids that show up kind of like, it's the last semester of high school and they're showing up in their guidance counselor's office saying, I really want to get into, Princeton. Well, you should have talked to me probably 4 years ago. So I think that's probably the struggle. I don't think they want to see kids fail. Without a doubt, I feel like they know it is a reflection of themselves and their own teaching. But I do worry about the pressure from a teacher standpoint that every kid should be successful. And I think parents feeling that that is their children's birthright that they should be successful. I think that'd be very hard to manage from a teacher's perspective, because the reality is not everybody's an A student. Not everybody's going to pass every single class that's in the school. And to be able to manage that from an emotional standpoint, it would be a real challenge. I would never want to be a teacher. I will say that right now.
Because it is.
It's hard. And then everybody's like, oh, they get 3 months off. Oh, they got a 4-day weekend. Weren't they just off? Like all this other stuff. It's like, well, I've seen it firsthand. My dad woke up every day for Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. And he was at school at 6 a.m. And he was there till after school and he was a coach. His days were long. I mean, he worked long hours. So it is a commitment if you want to be, I think anybody could be a good teacher. I think it is a huge commitment to be a great teacher.
Yeah. So what do you think, Liza?
The role of the teacher, I don't think has changed over the years. Looking back to how my high school teachers were, I still keep in touch with a lot of them. I think what you're saying is right. Like, to find the great teachers, it's few and far between, especially I feel like even more so now, only being a few months into their first year of high school. We've definitely had some eye-opening experiences with teachers, and we're in Fairfax County. This is supposed to be a top public school education area, and I haven't been overly impressed with some of it. So, for me, the teachers, yes, they're there for a purpose, give our children this education. But some of these teachers are spending more time with our kids than we get. So they're seeing them, during the day and how they interact with their peers, and they're seeing their mannerisms and their behaviors. And, like I said, looking back to how it was, that they're the ones, I think, that know they're not their parent, but sometimes they may pick up on something that we in the home aren't seeing. That, if there's a kid who's struggling or has something going on in the home, or, I think that's where those great teachers can do more than just teach the book education. The other issue we have right now is SOLs. We didn't have these crazy SOLs like they do now. So I find they're all just teaching from this just
and they
agenda.
Have to.
It is.
They have to. It's I hate it.
It is. And I feel like it lessens the opportunity to have that broad range of creativity that's where, looking back, at least for me, some of the classes I truly enjoyed and, the teachers I really enjoyed, it was kind of more the off the cuff and things like that. You're not just teaching to this test that these kids have to pass. And with my high school, they had 100% college acceptance rate. You had to be accepted into a college to graduate. It was a graduation requirement. Even if it was, going to Nova, you still had to have something in.
You're going to the next level.
Now, you didn't have to go, but you at least had to have the opportunity that I have somewhere I can go after this. So I don't know. I think it's just a different mentality. But, they're in there day in and day out. And when you see that one kid, for the past 2 weeks is bubbly and outgoing and personable, and now they're shut down and introvert and quiet and, they're seeing those changes. Like, I think that's where
it's such an interesting, I think, ratio or relationship because we have friends that are teachers, and then we've also experienced them from a parent perspective, and then you see how your kids experience them. And I think what you said is true, and what you said is true, is like they're in this unique position to affect them in a huge way. I mean, we all remember
positive
teachers, right?
Yeah.
We all remember those teachers that like changed course for you. Mm-hmm. So it's in a great way.
Yeah.
And then it's also like there are hard teachers or tough teachers or not nice
teachers. And you're going to have teachers. I remember, you know, we've said this to all of our sons. You are going to have teachers, and it's just like any other walk of life.
Job.
They're not good at their job.
Yeah.
There's lousy CEOs.
Yep.
There's lousy teachers. There's lousy data analysts. There's lousy engineers. Like, it's just a numbers game. It's going to happen. You're going to have teachers that are not good at their jobs.
Yeah.
You know? And then you're going to have some that are extraordinary that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
And you remember both of them, because I remember the amazing ones, and I remember the ones I'm like, oh.
Oh, I look back, and there was this, one teacher I was like, oh my, like, just so bad.
Yeah. And even so bad. You're like, how did they, you know, you look at, I mean, some of these, and you're like, how do they still have a job? Like, I can't be the only one that sees this and, you know.
I think it holds true. And I agree with that. I just think it holds true. People have to remember it holds true across the board.
Yep. In every job.
In every job.
You gotta stick it out. And I think like, that's where, you know, especially, you know, these millennials in this age is it's back to that instant gratification. I don't like this person. I'm going to quit this job. I'm not going to do it. You know, kids aren't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like every kid gets a trophy. Every kid
I mean, the coping skills and the resilience. That's what I worry about with a lot of the. I think with my kids, I really worry about like just really stepping up to it.
As much anymore.
It's like,
I think that's a whole nother actually.
Yeah, it's like a whole nother
topic.
You've got 4 more hours, right?
No, really, this idea of like character and being able to withstand difficulty, and you know, we had different. For us, we had opportunities to test that character a lot, and I'm just not sure. They do, and in a way that's great because we're providing a wonderful life for them, and we're supportive and we're involved, and it's all good things. But there is a unintended consequence to that.
Well, I mean, it just, you know, being that, you know, when I'm in a job, like my current job, I've been there over 10 years, and so I, you know, I like to stick with things and grow and move within that company. But when you're interviewing these different people and you look at their resume. And they may they seem like a great candidate. You're like, okay, 6 months. You're like, so, you know, and again, I don't know if it's this, as soon as they're not happy or they face a struggle or a challenge, or, you know, they're jumping ship and going to something else. And that's one thing we've told with, you know, both of our kids is, you know, you've committed to this team or you've committed to this. You will see it through whatever their time commitment is.
Yeah.
You know, I, you know, I'm sorry if this isn't what you thought it'd be, but.
Right.
You're at least going to see it through to what you committed to.
Yeah.
You might not get the trophy at the end. You might, you know, it's like, but that's part of it because that's what you've agreed to do.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
So we have to wrap up, which is so sad because we could talk forever, but just two questions. One is, what do you wish that your student or your new high school entrant, what are a few things that you wish they were doing a little bit better? What are some things that you can see from your adult experience that you are like, oh, if they could just see this or if they could just do this, it would probably be easier for them long term or even in the immediate future?
I think time management, organizational skills, and undivided attention, disconnecting from social media. To me, those are like the three biggest things. And I don't think they'll be the same for
every
kid, but for, you know, our oldest, I see those three things as being a deterrent for him maximizing his productivity, I think, you know, academically.
I actually agree with those things, you know, time management, number one,
you know,
organization.
Oh my God, his room sometimes. Holy guacamole.
Well,
it's
yeah,
so
it's,
depressing.
It's, yeah, some of it's just, I mean, and Emma's always been really good. And then, you know, you hit high school and I was like, whoa, what happened this year? Like, you know, did something happen from middle school to, you know, high school that now your clothes can't stay in the dresser? I'm not understanding what happened here. But, you know, I think one other thing is, like I said, These kids are very caring, very outgoing. I don't know if it's the area we are in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the entitlement I'm kind of over. So bringing them back a little bit out of, you know, back to reality, that the bubble we're in here, we're not the norm at all. And trying to, you don't want to humble your child, but you do. So trying to figure out how on our end as a parent, we can, you know, get them, you know, a little reality check of out of Fairfax County, out of all the kids around, because I think just as much as we feel like we have to keep up with the Joneses, the kids do too. You know, the latest and greatest and the newest and the, you know, but there's times you hear them talking and I'm like, do you hear yourself? So, you know, being more aware, and I think it goes, you know, that's in school too, because you know, now that they're in a much larger volume high school, you are around a lot more kids that may not have, you know, it's like I said, it's the richest of the rich of the poor. I mean, we have a bigger spectrum now that she's in high school.
Yeah.
The bubble got a little bigger.
I
think all it takes is for you saying one wrong thing and it can go wrong, you know, south real quick.
So. Yeah.
And then lastly, what are they doing that you are proud of, that you feel are kind of special, unique characteristics that you think will serve them well as they evolve?
I feel like academically and maybe sports-wise, Luke's not afraid of failure, which is different. I was always too, you know, scared of, I guess, looking dumb or, you know, almost like so consumed with my own, how others perceive me. I think Luke's not afraid to put himself out there. So that's the part I really like about him, is there's a little bit of fearlessness in a good way to kind of just put himself out there socially and in sports and, you know, joining something where he might not make the team. And I don't want to say he doesn't care. He does. He really cares. But he's willing to know that a part of the equation is him might not being able to make it. And I really respect that. And that's something I didn't join sports where there were cuts, you know, because I was just afraid of getting cut. It was like the biggest fear for me. So, for the most part, I think that, track and football, they cut you in different ways. They just more of just would work you so hard that people would quit. But there was always, for the most part, enough uniforms for everybody. So,
Yeah, it's the same. I mean, just that, you know, she has her own goals that she set for herself, which I think is great, because some kids just kind of do what they're told to do and for whatever reason, because mom or dad said they needed to. But, you know, she has her own thing she wants to accomplish. So, you know, I think that kind of gives them an end goal to something to keep working for.
Yeah, and just because I know them both well, I think they're both kind and caring people that look out for other people. And I think, you know, being able to show that and do that at their age is a great quality.
Yeah.
And not always easy if you're the minority.
Being vulnerable.
Yeah. So I think just anybody that's listening, or as you think about your own kids, you know, just thinking about what they do well and what their successes are, as much as we want all the other stuff in terms of their development, because it's that bigger picture of the holistic. So thank you for your time.
Oh,
I really appreciate
for having
it.
Us. Appreciate
it was awesome.
It.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you again for listening, and thank you to Paul and Liza, and to Pat Rollo, the producer of this episode. If you liked this episode, please subscribe and rate Relatable on iTunes. Until next time, this is Teresa Freeman with Relatable.